This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The old Patrick. How much fun was that to watch? Coming off a brilliant game against the Dallas Stars. The New York Islanders have it going in the right direction. It's 100% hockey with Millard and Shannon. There's so much to uncover here. Judd Moldaver is going to join us in just a little bit, the super agent. Thankfully, he's running behind schedule, so we can get into Patrick Waugh going after it with another player in Mikko Rantanen.
Not only another player, but remember, a player that Waugh coached in Colorado his first time around in the NHL, and Mikko was just a young lad. So from that perspective, this was somebody he knew. After Rantanen got a five-minute major and a misconduct for hitting Romanov from behind late in the game, it was a circus in Dallas last night.
In a fun way, though, would you call it? Because it captivated me, and it was I enjoyed it.
I think we all enjoy people losing their temper during a sporting event as part of the spectacle. You hope the Romanov's not hurt too severely. That's the other side. But you know, in many ways, we have been waiting for a little bit of this Patrick Waugh to show up since he took over the Islanders a few years back, because that's what we remember from his time early on in Colorado, correct?
Yeah, and some fire. Patrick Waugh has that. So bring it. Defend your players.
I do think that there wouldn't be one Islander player on that bench that isn't now a little happier that Patrick Waugh was doing that. I mean, I think that's one of the classic cases of fighting for your guys that I think the team would really enjoy, that would say, you know, that's why he's our coach. He's got our back. Now, this is hardly the world's largest rivalry, the Islanders and Dallas, but they do meet again in March when games, even though they're just as important now, games will be perceived to be more important for both teams in playoff races. They will meet at UBS, and Patrick Waugh will be front and center that night as well, I'm sure.
Well, he was saying to Rantanen that he's not going to finish the next game, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, So I don't know while we're taping this, we don't know if Rantanen will receive any more discipline. I don't think he will. But I can tell you right now that he will be receiving, Patrick will be receiving a phone call from Hockey Ops that we're never supposed to know about, that will say, okay, listen, just calm down. You can't do that. And then at a certain time, because it doesn't have to be before the next game, do not be surprised if Mr. Waugh is fined $25,000.
Yeah, maybe that's okay.
We might hear about that next week, if at all. But I would not be surprised knowing how cognizant the league is of things like this, you're not finishing the game. You know, is he, you know, is he vaguely putting a bounty on his head?
Well, that's a threat.
Yeah. So I suspect that we will hear at some point that Mr. Waugh has been fined.
Not the first guy, coach or player, to tell another guy that he's not getting out of there.
No, that's right. Any of my friends that played in the NHL, they said, well, that's tame compared to what some guys said to me. I mean, if I had, you know, guys are saying, if I had a dime for every time somebody said, I'm going to jam my stick down your throat or I'm going to kill you, then it would be a different story. A guy would be a rich man or richer man.
Good for Patrick Waugh. I like what he did. You don't want him to follow through. Like, I'm not saying that, but having that fire and sticking up for your player and your team, good on. And then they ended up winning the game too.
Not only did they win the game, but they win the game in a video review fashion at 1959. Wyatt Johnson puts the puck in the net, and then the Situation Room looks at it because it's in the last minute of play, and Jason Robertson was called for goaltender interference, and David Riddick in Dallas is, as you know, Dave, he's an emotional guy at the best of times. He's riding his hockey stick down the ice in Dallas. I mean, when somebody told me he was riding his stick before I checked the video, I thought it was on Long Island, and then I realized it was in Dallas. So he's doing it. He's doing it in enemy territory. I thought that was funny.
Giddy up.
Yeah.
Get some headlines for the National Hockey League. Little personality out there. Emotion.
We do need personality in the game. There's no question about it. We need.
And there's nothing wrong with what Riddick did. No.
I'm not saying. I was enjoying the Riddick. I enjoyed Riddick. I mean, that's good. So
it's a year of the goalies between Anthony Stolarz, now David Riddick, and Patrick Waugh, a former goalie. Fun stuff. We've got some great individual performances we'll dive into, but Super Agent Judd Moldaver is going to join us.
You know, Judd has an interesting client list right now when you think he has Connor McDavid, so he had a busy summer. We think he had a busy summer. He has Austin Matthews. He has one of the big success stories of the season in Morgan Geeky in Boston. So there's and then we have a new collective bargaining agreement that's going to start next year, and I'd be curious to see if he understands more about the CBA than the manager seemed to don't understand. Cuz it's not, I don't believe the CBA has been fully papered yet. I think they're still working through things. And before it gets distributed and everybody understands it for July 1st.
Yeah, and with some things being pushed through this year and other things waiting for next year, you're like, active?
And then there, you know, questionable stuff like being able to send one 19-year-old to the American League rather than back to junior hockey. How does that affect things? There's so many things in this CBA that are positive for the game, but I don't think everybody has, you know, the playlist of everything that's going on at this point.
McDavid and Matthews lined up to be free agents in the same year. I wonder how long it takes us to get into that. Judd Moldaver coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Here's Judd Moldaver joining us on 100%
Hockey. Hold on, you called him Super Agent before. Super Agent Judd Moldaver.
I only have 7 superstars in the National Hockey League, and you are a super agent.
Wow.
So that's pretty high praise given my standards.
Well, you must have the wrong guy on. there's only super players. I don't know about super agents, but no, I appreciate you guys asking me to be on. So yeah, thanks for having me.
What's an agent do in this time of the year? Because you're kind of in between stuff. There's nobody that can re-sign until the new year, and we know that all your clients are locked up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of everything. I mean, I think most days consist of a lot of phone calls, emails, and text messages. That is a for certain on a daily basis. Interesting time of year, as you guys know, we're somewhat about 20 games plus or minus into the season for most teams. Like you mentioned, Darren, right now, not any particular contract situations I'm dealing with. There's a potential extendable player here and again, whether RFA, UFA, and that type of situation. A lot of this time of year, it's just seeing how guys are doing, right? Fortunately, there's some guys who are, on winning teams right now, some guys on losing teams, some guys in between, as you know, the league's so tight, and just trying to be a support system to all the guys we represent through all the ups and downs that occur, 20 games in, 82 games in and beyond.
So managing your clients is one thing. Do you take time to manage the teams as well? I mean, are there sporadic or consistent calls to managers on how things are going?
Yeah, no, for certain. I've said this before publicly and privately. I'd like to think, and I'm fortunate to have good relationships with all 32 teams, have a great respect for all 32 teams, have clients on not every team, but at one point or another have dealt with everyone in the league. My mandate is to serve my players' interests and champion what's best for them. And yet I like to think I've got a good rapport with all the teams. None of us have easy jobs. We all have a little bit of a different constituency to report into, but around this time of year, yeah, I kind of, in synchronicity with checking with my clients, try and check in with the managers, of course, mostly of where I do have clients, but often you're just, interacting with other managers, getting a pulse for things, checking in and trying to get accurate updates on where your clients are sitting and get feedback and just try and stay on top of things.
Do you ever talk to coaches?
Occasionally.
Yeah,
occasionally I do. I think, from even as a kid, just being a fan of the game and then being fortunate enough to be in the player representation business for so long now, the thought of agents, and I don't love the word agent, and come back to that. I know, John, you've mentioned that offline. We talked about that. But
what do you want to call yourself?
I like to think of myself as the CEO of my clients' careers, and they're sort of my board of directors. I think, look, inside of representing or athletes, there's agenting, there's obviously contract negotiation and marketing and endorsement negotiation. And yet I think the real value, while that's the transactional part of things, and that's important, of course, I think it's the overall guidance and staying sticky to their situations and trying to be a sounding board through everything. And I look at them as my board of directors, and, as any good CEO, you're trying to oversee, the holistically what they have going on the ice, off the ice, summers, in season, off season, and just try and take a bird's eye view of everything and keep things organized. So I think the word agent is a bit of a, I don't know if it's a misnomer as much as it's, I don't think it gives the full scope of what I think we do and I seek to do, and proud of Wasserman Hockey's focus on being much more than just a typical representative, but trying to be full service and trying to be there in any capacity we can be to help guys' careers.
So on the coaches conversation, because players, like, if they're going to have a battle, it's going to be probably with a coach. And I'm just curious about that exchange.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Like I was alluding to, I think just thinking back historically, the thought of representation, speaking with a coach would seem just not realistic, not kind of in the cards in a manner of speaking. And I think, like anything, things change. I think communication is important. And as you suggest, Darren, the coaches decide who goes out on the ice, right? And when the game starts, they are the most important, I think, team official when it comes to ice time, playing time, all that kind of jazz. Obviously managers meet with their coaching staff regularly and have good dialogue, so everyone's in sync with what everyone's trying to achieve. So I do. I mean, there's guys I happen to know, I won't get into too many specifics, but happen to know for different channels, being around, even the guys I know well across the league who coach, whether they're the head coach, assistant coach, involved. I try and not overstep, but I think it's, I feel fortunate that I can make some calls sometimes, and I do it in concert with the managers, right? If mm-hmm. if I am reaching out to a coach, I'm certainly not doing it to put anyone in a tough spot. Just trying to, again, be additive. I mean, when my clients and our clients are successful, that's my most important goal and target. And yet, if our clients are playing to their optimal capacity, then their coaching staff, their managers, ownership, everyone will be happy. So I think it's important to have that communication. And unfortunately,
what was your summer like with Connor?
It was a great summer. I think it's been well documented, well covered, to say the least. You know, all credit to Connor in terms of how he handled this summer. I think it was, you know, very evident. If you didn't know much about him, if you knew a little bit about him, how just transparent he was and is about how he's feeling, proud of the way he handled things. He was forthright. He was consistent. We wanted to take our time, you know, without being nauseatingly redundant. I think the key was just taking his time and not being in a rush. People are going to speculate and guess, and sure, that's what people are supposed to do. But was really proud of his process. Him, his wife are excellent. His family, his father, Brian, was excellent. We took our time. We evaluated things with the North Star, in a manner of speaking, again, was for him to remain in Edmonton and win a Stanley Cup there. And while everyone's going to pontificate and speculate, a lot goes into that decision, and it's not enigmatic. It's just Peter earned the right to take his time. He wanted to be thoughtful about what the right deal was in order to achieve what he wants to achieve. And it was a fun process. You know, I'm very fortunate to have been able to lead that and appreciate his trust, and proud of how he handled it.
So, you know, the term and the dollars were, I think, you know, raised eyebrows for a lot of people. At what point did you guys decide that that was the term and the dollars you needed? Was that the genesis of the whole summer?
No, I think really the look, you guys know as well as anybody, or I trust you know as well as anybody, that the 32 teams probably have two things in common. They're governed by the same CBA, and they all want to win the Stanley Cup. I think short of those two things, every team is in their own situation. They're in their own life cycle. One person's title at one organization might be the same, other function, their say, might be completely different. My job, whether it's in Connor's situation or anyone else's, is to curate the best plan, strategy, and ultimately land on the best decision that fits that particular construct. Edmonton, as we all know, has been the back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals. They've been right there. Connor and my goal was to achieve the best deal that balanced out, you know, his individual value, but also putting himself in the best chance to win as an Oiler. And we didn't spend a lot of time on the math, because I think for us, the math was relatively simple to deduce just where Edmonton was at, speculating and obviously working with Stan and Jeff on what they were going to try and achieve. And so for us, the math was going to be relatively simple once it felt right for Connor, which was not rooted in a ton of academia. It was ultimately collecting all the information, processing, and like I often say, if your process is right, your end result will be right. And so the summer was just figuring out what's the best deal, pairing the best wine with the cheese of achieving a Stanley Cup in Edmonton, putting himself and his teammates in the best position to do as such. And for us, it was pretty simple on the term and the number that made sense. There was a range, which I won't get into, that him and I had discussed, and I'm proud of the decision he made. It's a great deal for the team, obviously, as been well talked about. It's still a great deal for him. Still a transcendent deal for the marketplace, given that it's a 2-year deal with a very high AAV, notwithstanding not getting a raise. And it fits in, you know, in the best way possible for him. Right deal for this player, right time, and it's all about winning for him.
I'll throw a comparable and a comment. Darren Ferris said he wanted Mitch Marner to go to free agency, and that was his stance. And Mitch said, no, I'm going to go down this path and do the sign and trade with Vegas. Did you want Connor to go to a higher number? And or where were you? As an agent, I'm thinking you're thinking bigger AAV.
Yeah, I totally get the question and not being coy about it. Again, simple answer, no. I'm out there to achieve the best result for my clients in their specific situations. I'm focused on every situation being its own. While there are comparables out there and people like to have relativity to situations, I look at every situation as completely its own. It's got its own variables, its own particulars, what's important to players. So no, the quest was never a particular AAV. Again, I'm all about process, and I feel like if you have a good vision for where you're going, it usually takes care of itself. I think it's no slight or disrespect to the Oilers. Certainly everyone knows Connor could have signed for whatever he wanted. I don't know. That's not some big mystery or big secret. And again, it was just what was the right deal for this player in this situation. And no, as an agent, look, of course, my job would be ridiculous and disingenuous to suggest that my job in general is to achieve great contracts, help guys, you know, get paid what seems to be fair, but it's a balance. It's a balance between what works for them, what makes them happy, what fits that particular team, that particular timing. And it's all about curating it to the specific individuals. So that's a long-winded way of saying, no, it was just about, the best deal for Connor McDavid and Connor McDavid and myself and his family. We believe we achieved exactly that.
Okay. Right in the middle of these conversations that you're having with the Oilers, Kirill Kaprizov signs for $17 million a year. Did that cause you guys to take a step back at all? Or what was your reaction in the middle of it?
No, really.
Really?
Don't think about it. Yeah. And I'm not giving you some surfacey, again, not to be redundant, but I can be good at that. Repetition is important sometimes. not at all. Connor McDavid's contract is completely Connor McDavid's contract, and not really paying attention. I mean, I'm a fan of hockey, and you know, obviously I have a pulse for it. It's what I do for a living. So I don't live under a rock, certainly, yet wasn't looking at what anyone else was doing. It didn't matter. Connor was going to do what he was going to do, and I don't get affected by what anyone else does, nor do my clients. We live in our own world of one, and so not at all. Again, it goes back to what I alluded to. Every team is in a different construct. I'm not going to comment on other, you know, other players I don't represent, other situations. I don't think it's appropriate. But everyone's in a different spot, and everyone's got to do what they think is right. So no, I don't pay attention. And whether it was on Connor's deal or anyone else's, I live in my own world with my clients, and I tell them that's the best way to operate. And hopefully I'm qualified and I have enough of a grasp on the market and how it works, and that I'm fortunate my clients trust me, that I just say we're in our own universe here, and it's the best way to operate.
Do you feel you put the Oilers on a timetable though with the 2-year deal?
I've heard that again. Like I mean, you know, John, you and I have known each other a long time. I like you a lot. I don't listen to much out there. I don't know. I've heard that. I don't have much to say about that. I don't think so. I think we did the best deal that kept the AAV at a favorable place, still blending a transcendent deal for Connor, given the term and the AAV, which most situations are a longer term, with a, in order to achieve a higher AAV, rightly or wrong, that's how our sport works. But I don't look at it like that. I look at it as, look, it was the best deal that puts him in the position to win there. I don't think that deeply about it. I mean, we're in 25, 26, he's under contract this year. He signed a 2-year extension. One step at a time.
Do you understand why people would go that route or look at it that way?
Yeah. I mean, yes, you know, people are going to give opinions, speculate. The one thing, I don't know if I would say it quite bothers me. I don't know if that's the right word. A lot of people speak in opinion under the guise of fact, right? Mm-hmm. I know 2 + 2 = 5. I know this. You don't know anything. You don't know. You don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. Am I surprised? No, people are going to come up with all sorts of machinations. And I bet you he did this. And I'm sure he did that, but they don't know. So am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised mm-hmm. what anybody says anymore, because a lot of people make things up. It was the right deal for this player in this situation. People are going to make of it what they make of it. I can't control that. He can't control that. People are going to speculate and guess. It was just the right deal for this puzzle, for this team, for this player. And that's about that.
Judd gets the thrill of hanging out with us as we continue on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. In 2027 then, Judd, will Connor become the highest paid player in the National Hockey League?
2028, I think, isn't it? 2028?
He becomes, his UFA status starts in 2028. To Darren, I think what you're getting at is he can extend in 2027. Too far ahead to know and have any predictions.
Dude, that's the fascination, Judd. The noise starts already. Like the noise, or does in your world does the noise ever stop?
No, and that's why I don't listen to the noise. I think the best way to conduct it is, again, I as mentioned, I don't live under a rock. You know, I have an idea of or sense at a minimum of what's out there. I don't expect people not to speculate. That's the fun part for people, right? You talk about hockey, you talk about predictions. So I totally get it. Like that's the way the world works, beyond the hockey ecosystem and hockey universe. I don't think that far ahead. I mean, I guess the caveat to that is I know when my players' deals expire. I am aware of that. I'm aware of when they can extend. And yet I think, you know, I would understand, I suppose, why people think about it, but no, gents, I think it's just too early. It's 25, 26. And when we get to 27, like always evaluate where things are at. I hope, Darren, by 27, any and all of my players are up for a contract are all the highest paid players in the league. That would probably be the ideal situation.
And it's just a coincidence that Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews contracts expire at the same time.
you can say that. Zach Werenski does too. Roman Josi also. Now that you got my brain, I've only had one coffee this morning, so now you have my brain. I guess you could say it's a coincidence.
Oh, you'd have a busy summer again.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully I stay employed.
Is it an advantage to have Austin and Connor expiring or up at the same time? Is there any edge there?
First of all, with those two guys and then really all my clients, I mean, I'm not on this show and I don't have the great life and the great experiences I have without all of my clients. They've all at every point meant a little something different to me, and they all are become like brothers. Their families are like families. So all of them are important to me, and all of them have been a huge part of my life and why, you know, I have guys like you wanting me to be on this show. No, they have great respect for one another. I've said it, I think, a lot privately. I think, as you guys know, I don't do a lot of these types of things, and good thing I like John. And no, they've got great respect for each other. And for me, it's an honor. It's a privilege. I feel extremely humbled. I don't pretend to be not without my swagger or confidence. It's a tough job, trying to achieve the best results I can, but I'm very humbled by having the fortune to represent both of them. I think it's an advantage. For me personally to have both of them, a lot of information, two great people, two great players, have tremendous respect for each other personally and professionally. I have a lot of other high end players and a lot of other really good NHL players. I mean, it's a hard league to make. So anyone that's in the league is a pretty good player. It's harder to stay in the league, and you could say, than even make it. That's the real test. And so, no, Darren, I think it's fortunate. And I see it as helpful to all my clients by having different guys at that level. I'm fortunate to get a lot of good information, stay ahead of the curve, and I'm very lucky. What can I say?
How is Austin?
He's doing good. He's doing good. He's coming along. You know, it's I know everyone's always going to be curious about people's situations when they're injured. He's coming along. He'll be back, you know, soon enough. I don't have an exact date for that. I know whenever a player of his magnitude is out and you want to see him back playing and doing what he does best, which is being on the ice. And again, I understand the curiosity and the antsiness to knowing more and wanting to just see him back. He's in a good place. I mean, injuries happen. Sometimes you get a string of bad luck, and that's how it goes sometimes. Like, you get puck luck some nights and you don't get others, but he's doing good. And I expect we'll see him back soon. I don't have an exact date, but he'll be back soon and raring to go.
How challenging has it been navigating this new CBA with some things put in place earlier than when the actual CBA kicks into gear?
Yeah, no, I've had a really good grip on it, on the evolution. I think the NHLPA has done a really good job. I've tried to stay ahead of it. I play a lot of chess, so I'm often trying to think about things like very, very early. And so, yeah, I think Darren, for sure, knowing what the guardrails are, is helpful as you think about different situations, right? Like, some guys are extendable now, some guys are extendable next summer. Obviously there's some more significant changes. I think one that stands out for a lot of people that kicks in, I believe, September 26th of 26, is that the 7-8 rule, right? As you guys know, being able to extend 8 years with the same team, and 7 if you're a UFA, goes to 6 and 7 effective north of that date. Just being mindful of that on how that will affect certain situations. Some of the signing bonus language has changed. I think just being aware, you know, and being aware, and when guys' deals come up, hope that their situations lend themselves to the right deal for them. And I guess just knowing what the rules are and how to optimize them for your guys is the best way to be prepared.
Is that why so many UFAs a year out have done deals in the last 2 or 3 months, just because the rules of the old CBA were much more player friendly?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, hard for me to comment on other situations. I'm not that I don't have all the granularity on. My general response to that would be, again, one, everyone's in their own spot. Two, I think we've seen, generally speaking, there's not the UFA market doesn't get really rich by rich in terms of a treasure trove of UFAs. Teams are often not wanting, you know, players to go UFA, whether it's a high end player or anyone they want to keep. And if they can't sign them, then they move them. Right. The hardest thing to do, I guess, speaking for the teams with some poetic license, is losing assets for nothing. And so I think, you know, all teams seek to not do that, right? I mean, you guys are smart enough guys, I believe, that you wouldn't want to do that either. Just kind of common sense on not letting assets walk out the door for no return. There's times when guys rent players, and there's the occasional situation where that happens, or a team chasing it and does a rental just because they got to make a push and kind of lives with that high risk, high reward. But no, I don't know, John and Darren, if it's because of the new CBA. I think, and you guys can fact check me on this, I just don't think you see a lot of guys go UFA, because, you know, hockey players, generally speaking, want to stay where they started or where they are. A lot goes into a guy's life. There's the on ice piece and the hockey part of it. There's wives and girlfriends and children and kids enrolled in school and familiarity, a loyalty to a team, a friendship with your teammates. So I think it can be all the above, right? Is why we don't see a ton of UFA players, but those are just my sort of suppositions.
Let's face it, hockey players are conservative. They are conservative people, and they don't like they really don't like have much risk factor, unlike other sports. You know, and you work for a big company that has other sports that are much more risk averse than hockey players, aren't they?
Totally, and you know, the one thing that is unfortunate, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the word that comes to mind in our system to that point, John and Darren, I think you guys will both appreciate this, is that we are, I think, the one sport that it's the players have to choose. It's almost like they're forced into if I take too much, I don't want to win. And if I take less, I want to win more. I think that is preposterous. Mm-hmm. I think every player that I represent, I know, wants to win the Stanley Cup. I would be disappointed and shocked if any of my players said, nah, I don't want to win. Like, it's a crazy thing. Well, he wants to win more. I don't know when people became scientists and were able to measure the degree of wanting to win. I mean, you either want to win or you don't. Again, sticking on the theme of speaking about my clients and on behalf of my clients, everybody wants to win. I think it's ridiculous to say anything less. And then systemically, you know, again, rightly, wrongly, maybe unfortunately, fortunately, however you want to dissect it, people have to make that choice. So in other sports, someone signs for XYZ, they sign their deal. Guys like Millard and Shannon talk about it, pontificate about it, dissect it, chew on it, and then it's talked about, and then they go play, right? In hockey, that's not the case. A lot of the deal conversations and with the metric of the deal or the signing bonus or the trade language and all the things that go into making really a strong deal, it's not just the AAV and the term. There's a lot more inside of negotiating a good deal for players and on their behalf. That said, that would be something that is limited in hockey. So yes, hockey players, to your point, John, are loyal. They're humble. They're conservative, I guess, at times. I suppose that's a way of characterizing it. You know, if the system doesn't lend itself to just signing for whatever, because it doesn't. And often guys like you, and I don't say that in jest or rudely, we're talking about, oh, well, he took this much. Does he want to win? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the players, but hey,
players. No, but at the same time, I would say that I don't think it's fair to the players to be in charge of managing the cap for the team.
I agree with you. And that's what I'm saying. In the relativity of the universe, players are very thankful and fortunate and feel blessed to be earning a lot of money to do what they love and play the sport and the game that they love. And yet you're right. It's a tricky balance. And again, with respect, because it's not always pretty, you know, things can get heated and emotional and you're negotiating contracts and you always try and be respectful. And yet, yeah, I think I've said, and I know I've said, I should say, it's not our job. No. You're a smart guy. You can figure it out.
But that's what Connor did for his team.
Yeah. Yes and no. Connor did that for Connor and his team in concert with one another. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the best way to do a deal, is what's best for the player also being what's best for the team. That's the reconciliation. So in that case, we feel like, yes, Connor took a number that quote unquote surprised people, but that was the best deal for Connor to achieve happiness, to also put his team in a good position, which is one and the same, right? That's the Venn diagram. Generally speaking, yes, it's a systemic thing, not a player thing, that there's only so much pie. There's only so much pie. It's just the mm-hmm. way it works. It's the cap is another word for a budget, and players and teams have to be disciplined. Our job is to get the right result for the player. But again, it's hard for me to talk in generalities because everyone's in their own spot.
Right.
Everyone's in their own spot.
3 years ago, what would your reaction have been?
Sorry, you cut out there for a sec. Sorry, Darren, say that again, sir.
3 years ago, if I would have told you Connor was going to extend for the same number, what would your reaction have been?
I probably would have said to you, I don't know what he's going to do because there's not enough data, right? Like, we can forecast academically what the marketplace is going to look like, right? And we can forecast all those things because they're technical, right? They're data points. You know, if I was a professor of agenting in an academic universe, I'd be talking about these things differently, but I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm dealing with real human beings, real people, real situations, right? Not theoretics. I'm dealing with reality and real things. I would bet a lot, knowing myself as well as I hope I know myself, that I would have said to you, similar to some of these other questions about the future, that I don't know, and I don't need to know, and we don't need to know, because what we know today could be wildly different in 4 months, in 6 months, let alone in 2 years. So I'm not surprised, and I say that again with great. Greatly genuine or genuinely, I should say, because that's how I think about anything. Like the future deals I'll negotiate. Do I have an idea, gents? Do I have a thought process in my head of where things might be in forecasting? Absolutely. But I also know that just like in a chessboard, you might plot out your first 10 moves and you might get to move 6 and all of a sudden move 7 and 8 become obsolete. So it's hard to be absolute about things. A, I don't need to be absolute on yet. It doesn't serve my clients. And B, you can't possibly be absolute about, because the data isn't either fully there or it's fractionary. And until I have full data and have to make a decision, no point in doing as such.
By the way, congratulations. For the first and last time, we have heard the word Venn diagram on 100% Hockey because we will never hear it again.
Well, do you know what it means, right, John?
Yeah, I do, but we just never talk in those terms.
People just pulled off the road to Google it.
Google Venn diagram. That's right. Yeah. Last one for me. What's it been like to be Carter Hart's agent the last little while?
I'm very proud of Carter Hart, and I'm very excited that he's playing again. As you guys know, and Darren, you're there in Vegas. He just played his first AHL game the other night. There's only so much I can say. I'm proud of him. I've represented him for a handful of years now. He's a tremendous human being. He's a tremendous player, and I'm excited for him. I'm really excited for him and for him to just be back doing what he loves and for people to see the real Carter Hart and not this, you know, perception. He's an excellent person and comes from a great family, and I'm very proud of him and I'm excited for his future.
I had a chance to talk to him after his game the other night in Henderson. What did he tell you though, following that first game back?
He was just excited to be back playing in a game again, just excitement and appreciation. Everyone's been first class at the Golden Knights, and welcoming him, teammates, staff, ton of respect I have for the manager there and the AGM there. They're great guys to work with. And Carter's just been super excited, super appreciative of the opportunity and proud to be a Golden Knight and proud to be back in the league. And we're a little bit away from when he can play his first NHL game, but he's excited. And yeah, just playing a game again, I think Darren was the thrilling, get back in there and where he loves to be.
Finish it this way. Go ahead, John.
No, I just, so not that you can disclose, but this is where friendships between the CEO of your clients and a player are so vitally important for a guy to get through all of this.
Yeah. Again, I appreciate you referencing the CEO part and also the personal relationship. All my clients, I view them as family. Whether it's their wife, their girlfriend. In a lot of cases, I've known guys as their girlfriend and their fiance and to their wife and to now the mother of their children. So in different cases, I've seen so many different evolutions. I'm extremely close with all of my guys. I try and be as consistent as I can in communication with all of them. I'm fortunate they know there's only one me. I can't be everywhere at once, but I try and be there for them. Obviously, professionally is what they hire me to do. And it's not just me. I have great colleagues, great team of people that I work closely with on a daily basis. I mean, I'm very proud of everyone at Wasserman Hockey. I'm very proud to be part of our company and try and give care to everybody. Life is a roller coaster. There's ups and downs. There's different challenges. It doesn't always go peachy. And so while I have to be good at the professional part of it and the transactional part of it, and deal making and endorsements and professional guidance, I think having that trust, which is earned and caring about my guys and our guys and their families in a personal way, and I take a lot of pride in that. And again, I'm humbled by it. Doesn't mean that I don't have my bravado and my swagger and my belief in myself. And I like to project strength for them for sure. But yeah, I think the personal part of my job is I probably take more pride in than anything that I like to think all my guys would not call bullshit on the fact that they all go to bed at night and they know Juddy cares. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the thing. I'd like to think we care more and I care more. That's our differentiator. I think, you know, a lot of people can do a lot of things, but just trying to live it with them. And it's easy to be there when things are sunny. It's not always easy to be there when things are cloudy. So that's my response to that.
Didn't need Google to look up BS. We all know that one and understand it. So you've referenced chess a couple of times. This will be the most difficult one for you, and be careful answering this. Your relationship with John is documented. You are aware of my Hall of Fame caliber career. If we are chess pieces, what is John and what am I?
Well, I don't know about the BS comment. I don't know where that fits in, but if I was being mean spirit, I'd say you're both pawns.
Yes, we are both pawns for sure.
And pawns on the outside of the board, which are the weakest pawns. if I'm being, if I'm being a little more friendly, because Darren, see, I look like a nice guy, but I'm not that nice. I bark and I bite. If I'm being a little more generous, I wouldn't call John a queen or a king. I don't think that would be there. I see John, if he's not a pawn, as a knight. He's shifty. He jumps around in weird ways. So that's the knight piece. And only really getting to know you through this podcast, radio show, whatever you call this, 100% hockey, what, 50% hockey? What do we call
100%
the show?
100% hockey, mister.
Okay. Come on. It was 50%. I'm not good at math.
But you know the Venn diagram, though.
I know that. I was sure my parents allowed me to go to good schools. I just pretend I'm dumb, John. I would say, Darren, I will equate you to John, which I don't know if you look at that as a good or a bad. I'll call you a bishop because your questions have been a little bit more, you know, they're diagonal, but they're in a straight line. Johnny likes to move in this L shape. So I'll give you guys the nice version is knights and bishops. The mean version is outside pawns.
Yeah.
Depending on how our relationships go forward, maybe you'll go up to rook status, which is the next most important piece on the board.
I just wanted to be a bishop, and I wasn't. I'm not even a bishop. I wanted to be a bishop.
I sense that's what you wanted, so that's why I made you a knight. And I think Darren wanted to be a knight, and I made him a bishop.
That is brilliant. This has been tons of fun, but that's my favorite part of all the hockey talk. that was fun. Thanks, Judd. Really appreciate it. When you're in Vegas, make sure we catch up for a coffee.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. Appreciate the thoughtful conversation, and you guys be well. Sorry I was a little bit behind.
Say hi to your dad.
I will for sure. Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
Might have to go back and listen to that again. You know, in real time, things are coming into you and you're like trying to absorb it and see how things are going to pan out. That's a re-listen for me.
It is. Judd's a fascinating guy. There are days that he talks in riddles.
Yes.
And I've known him for a long time. I really got to know him because his dad loved the old radio show. So when I met Judd and he said, my dad loves listening to you and Bob every day. So that's how we became friends. And this is before he went out on his own, you know, so he's a fascinating guy, and he's done a really good job. He has done a spectacular job.
Hat trick night in the National Hockey League.
Wow. Yes. The kids, Bedard, Celebrini, Gensel got one too. And Chicago and San Jose are in playoff spots today. I don't normally talk about playoffs, but holy smokes. Holy smokes, they're in.
Team Canada's brass is meeting this weekend. Perfect timing with all those hat tricks with Celebrini and Bedard.
Well, and the guy, I feel bad for two guys. I feel bad for Travis Konecny because he seems to be the guy on the who's not going to be on the team list. And I feel bad for Braden Point because he has not had a good season, and he's an automatic because they had to name six skaters beforehand, and he was one of those six. And you hope he can turn it around, but he hasn't had a good season so far. So
I don't feel bad for him. I'm happy for him.
What? Why? He's in. Yeah. No. But it's going to put a lot of pressure on him in my mind. So
you know what? Makes for a more tolerable sadness right now, knowing that he's in.
Tolerable sadness. Sadness, okay.
Yeah. That's what they say. Money can't buy happiness, but it makes sadness more tolerable.
Okay, I'll remember that. I'll remember.
Thanks for setting that up. Fun stuff. Let us know what you like. What do you want to hear? We've had some good ones recently, and so keep those interactions coming on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.